This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The latest Kids Count report shows, in the words of the Michigan League for Public Policy, many kids in the state stuck in poverty without solutions. Among other things, it charts a 35% increase in child poverty over a six-year period. Jane Zender Merrill is the Kids Count in Michigan Project Director for the Michigan League for Public Policy. Jane Zender Merrill, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Gordon.
If you had to highlight something in this report to show us something that is perhaps alarming or disturbing, what would you say that is?
The level of child poverty that we have in the state after being in a recovery starting in 2009. And these data are for 2012, 2013, and we still see really high levels of child poverty.
On the flip side of that, are there any silver linings?
Of course, there's always a silver lining, Gordon. We've seen a decrease in births to teens, which is a good thing. We're also seeing decreases in children in out-of-home care for abuse, neglect, foster care. And we've seen improvements in fourth graders being able to demonstrate proficiency in reading. So there are some bright spots. We've also seen some decline in the infant mortality rate.
There are 15 trends of child well-being which are examined in the report. Of those, according to the news release from your group, 8 improved, 5 worsened, 1 stayed the same, and 1 could not be tracked over time. Do we have to give weights to those, however? Are some of these, you know, improving more dramatically? Are there small increases in improvement? And do some of these factors maybe, you know, if we just look at those raw numbers, maybe we get the idea that things are overall getting better. But is there more to it than that?
Yeah. I think this issue of child poverty is the overriding issue. We know from multiple studies and research that children who grow up in poverty for extended periods during their growing up years really do have much greater difficulty being successful in education and in employment, and even their health is compromised in their adult years. So, you know, the fact that we have so many children, one of every four children statewide, who are growing up in families with income below the poverty level should definitely be a cause for concern.
And when we say the poverty level, what are we talking about for income?
Well, we're talking between $18,000 and $19,000 gross annual income for a family of three, and around $24,000 for a family of four with two children, two parents and two children.
And this is what the Michigan League for Public Policy and others are talking about in terms of what's called the toxic effect of poverty on children, is not just what it means when they're young, but what it means going forward?
Yes. What the research shows is that children, young children, if they have those particular years in poverty, it has a much more detrimental effect than children who have an episode of poverty later in their lives. So definitely those early years are the ones that are where children are particularly vulnerable. So we've been looking at these numbers and they just don't seem to be improving over time, which means that many kids who were born at the beginning of this recession may be spending their entire early childhood in a family without resources to meet their needs.
How much of a racial disparity do you find in the numbers when it comes to poverty?
Dramatic. African American children have double the risk of the average child in Michigan. Roughly one of every two children in the African American community lives in a family with income below the poverty level. Asian children are the least likely to be suffering from poverty. Essentially one of every 10 or 10% of children in the Asian community. Many of the Asians who live in Michigan have come to take jobs. They often are highly educated and have opportunities to make a decent living.
Kalamazoo County ranks 52nd in terms of child well-being. 21% of children had lived in poverty, according to the latest numbers. What does that mean in terms of how much worse a child is off in Kalamazoo on average than in other parts of the state when they rank 52nd out of 82 counties measured?
Well, on some indicators, there's more of a spread than on others. When you start looking across the board on some of the other indicators, even though Kalamazoo has a lower poverty rate than the state average, and it hasn't seen as dramatic an increase over the trend period, the other indicator in Kalamazoo County that's sort of a red flag is that you have many more children coming to the attention of the Children Protective Services to be investigated for abuse or neglect. You're 79th out of the 83 counties in that respect. Almost over 15% of children in the county have lived through an investigation of abuse and neglect in 2013.
Looking at some of the other counties in southwest Michigan, Calhoun County is at 77th, Van Buren County 43rd, and St. Joseph's at 64th. So there's quite a disparity. And then when you look north, actually, the counties north of here come out much better. Allegan County's 13th, Berry County's 14th. Does this just tell us something about the populations, or are there programs in individual counties which can move the needle some on child well-being?
There may be, but also that may be part of the explanation for the differences we find among the counties, but we also can look at the child poverty rate as a predictor of how well the county is doing. When we map these indicators and then map the rankings, you see a pretty consistent pattern between the two, child poverty and the overall ranking, because child poverty often drives the outcomes for health. We know that children who live in families with income below the poverty level are much more susceptible to health problems, and also they don't do as well in school. I mean, it's all very well documented.
Broadly speaking, are there some geographic patterns to poverty in Michigan, or is it more, scattered throughout various pockets of poverty throughout the state?
No, there's a definite pattern. Southwest Michigan, Berrien, St. Joseph, Calhoun, Hillsdale, and Jackson are all in the bottom quartile, the bottom fourth of the counties. And then you have a band of counties in northern Michigan, Lake, Osceola, Clare, Gladwin, Roscommon, Wexford, Manistee, where they also fall in that bottom quarter, and then only one in the northern Michigan, Luce. And we also have Wayne and Genesee on the I-75 corridor with the downturn in GM and all the attendant economic deprivation that has brought about.
So what are some possible solutions to childhood poverty that we could pursue in the state of Michigan and perhaps see better results in the Kids Count report in the years to come?
Well, one of the things we could do is strengthen the safety net programs. I mean, clearly the economy is not offering opportunities for families to make a living. So instead of cutting back on programs that help families survive economic downturns, it's clear that we're still living in an economic downturn and we need to strengthen that safety net to make sure that children don't suffer any more than they need to during this time. We also could increase access to safe, high-quality child care through the Child Care Subsidy Program, which is really a two-generation approach. It allows parents to work, and it allows children to be in programs that will help them develop and reach their potential. And the third policy that we're recommending to improve child poverty is to restore the state earned income tax credit, which rewards families working and helps supplement their income. We know that a lot of families are, well, you can see from the median income, the drop in the median income in the state, families that are working are making less than they did previously.
Can you explain how the earned income tax credit works?
Yeah, it's a pretty simple equation. It's a percentage of the federal earned income tax credit. And many states have implemented this at various levels. We were at 20%. We're now at 6% of the federal earned income tax credit.
And if voters approve the sales tax increase on May 5th, that would also include restoring the full earned income tax credit, correct?
That's right. That's right. So we can fix the roads and we can help a million kids and working low-income families all at the same time by voting yes.
You mentioned programs that make up the safety net in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
What are some specific programs that you would like to see get better funded?
Well, unemployment insurance. I mean, we cut the weeks that people were eligible from 26 to 20 during basically almost the height of this recession. The cash assistance program and the child care subsidy. We highlight the child care subsidy program because we have one of the lowest eligibility rates in the country, and we have not kept up with the market cost of child care. And parents, we want parents to work, but if parents cannot afford the average cost of child care, which is anywhere from $500 to $1,000 a month, it makes it really difficult for them to work. And we also, in terms of the payment to the child care providers, if we don't provide a decent payment rate, those people will not stay in the field. So we'll lack qualified, well-trained people to provide care for our youngest, most vulnerable kids. So, I mean, if we really care about the next generation, and we know all this research about young children and how important it is, what happens to them with their caregivers on a daily basis, this should be top priority for us to figure out.
You've also called for the expansion of the Healthy Kids Dental Program. Governor Snyder mentioned this in his State of the State address.
He did, and we are so pleased. Wayne, Kent, and Oakland are the last three counties to expand this particular program for Medicaid-eligible children. So we're very pleased that the governor is promoting in his budget to cover young children ages 0 to 8. We think this is a great step forward, and we're really glad to see that. And he's also proposed funding for many specific programs like home visiting and early interventions for children and families where children have developmental delays or disabilities so that we reach these kids early and perhaps prevent them from having to use services later on or addressing the problem when it's easier to solve. So we really commend the governor for his emphasis on early childhood in this budget.
By and large, do you think that the governor's budget proposal, such as it is, moves the conversation in the direction you'd like to see it go?
Oh, yes. I mean, investing in young children and their families and expanding access to health care, we really applaud what he's doing because, you know, there's a great concern about kids not being able to read by the end of the third grade, but you can't wait until the end of the third grade to address that issue. So many of the initiatives that he has put in place are addressing the comprehensive needs of young children, which are the bedrock for building on those vocabulary skills and social-emotional development that allow kids to be successful in the cognitive area.
Jane, you mentioned a couple times that despite some positive signs we may have seen in the economy, there's still a lot of people out there who uh-huh. are not finding work or perhaps not finding full-time work, maybe not uh-huh. finding work with benefits.
Uh-huh.
How much of the problems we see in the Kids Count report can be addressed simply by a better economy and more people finding full-time gainful employment?
Well, that's certainly a piece of it. Another issue that we're struggling with is the fact that many low-wage workers can't control their schedules. Where we've seen job growth is in the retail and restaurant, the hospitality sector, and those workers aren't notified. They're not given 2 weeks. Sometimes they're not even given a daily notice of what their schedule will be, which makes it very difficult to balance parenting responsibilities. So there's more and more talk and perhaps legislation at the federal level about, number one, allowing people to have a better grip on what their schedule is, at least 2 weeks' notice, and also to be able to accrue sick days, because we know that's another huge problem with our families who can't afford to miss work, so they go to work sick, or their children are sick and they send them to school sick, and that's certainly not what we want to see happen.
Jane Zender Merrill, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your excellent question.
Jane Zender Merrill is the Kids Count in Michigan Project Director for the Michigan League for Public Policy. Links to the latest Kids Count report for Michigan can be found at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.